Leonard gets into the lane, kicks it to Van Vliet, to Powell, corner three in the air, good! That's in the bottom of the well for the general, Norman Powell. 13 off the bench for Powell, Raptors up 84-74.
Raptors blow out the Bucks last night, 120-102. The Raptors even the best of seven at two apiece. I remember we were talking about the series before it started, and kind of felt that this one was going seven, and in order to go seven, you really needed the Raptors to win last night, and the Raptors took care of business. Their bench was superb. Kawhi Leonard actually got a chance to rest a little bit last night, and the Raptors' role, Fred VanVleet, former Shocker, had a big role off the bench. Kyle Lowry, 25 points. Raptors-Bucks series tied at two apiece, which I'm sure the Warriors are more than happy to see. That series go as long as it possibly can, which we know will go at least six. The series will shift back to Milwaukee for Game 5, and that'll be coming up on Thursday. No NBA games tonight because, of course, the Warriors swept the Blazers, and they have moved on to NBA Finals for the fifth consecutive year. Another NBA nugget, Damian Lillard, even though his team got swept, he has 191 million reasons why he should still be happy. Four-year, $191 million extension. Hold on a second while I grab my calculator. That's 191 divided by 4 is 47.75 million per year on average for a guy that I think is really good, but I don't, you know, I've seen Doug Gottlieb sending some things out there and I kind of agree with him, and I don't like to agree with him sometimes, but Damian Lillard, he was fantastic against the Thunder, but he got worse as each series went along, and he was not very good against the Warriors, and they didn't have Kevin Durant. Now, in fairness to Damian Lillard, he has to carry a lot of the weight on his shoulders. That team isn't super great offensively. McCollum's great.
Yeah, they didn't have McCollum in that Game 7 against the Nuggets.
They would have never won. They were down 17. They shouldn't have won that series. And now they're talking about making a decision on their head coach. I'm like, he got to the Western Conference Finals. He obviously should be back. Yeah. I don't know what the discussion is, but Damian Lillard really struggled. And, you know, look at Steph Curry. And granted, he's got better people around him. But they lose Durant, he elevates his game. Damian Lillard, his game got worse. Although, I don't know how much that's on him or his supporting cast. Because he doesn't have guys he can kick out to like Klay Thompson. I mean, he's got C.J. McCollum. That's about it. They're going to really knock down shots. He doesn't have a Kevin Durant. He doesn't have Draymond Green. He doesn't have nearly the supporting cast. But having said all that, I think Damian Lillard is on the edge of being a superstar, but I don't think he really is one. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think he's a really good player. I think he has those flashes where he looks great. And I know he's on the West Coast. We don't watch him as much. But when you think of the elite guards in the NBA, Damian Lillard isn't the first, second, or probably third name you come up with.
Yeah.
And so if the guy isn't, I mean, I guess the question is he worth 47.75 million per year over 4 years, $191 million. I mean, if Damian Lillard's getting that, what should Steph Curry get?
Oh, yeah.
What should James Harden get? What should Russell Westbrook get, even though Damian Lillard outplayed Westbrook in that first series? What should Paul George get? I could keep going here.
Yeah.
What should Donovan Mitchell get? There's lots of great guards out there that I would say are just as good as Damian Lillard. And I'm not saying he's not a good player. He really is. He's fun to watch. But if he's not making those deep threes, and then he's undersized when he takes it to the rack, which we saw in the Golden State series, he struggles against length.
Yeah.
I just don't know if a guy's worth that much money, but then he is the face of your franchise, so I guess you probably got to do it. But, man, that's a lot of money for a guy that really, we sit here and are kind of hee-hawing around whether he's a superstar or not.
Yeah, and you know, I can, without question, say that there are two guards better than Damian Lillard and Harden and Curry right now. I mean, those, you know, you think of those two right away. I think a lot of people are going to say Westbrook, but, you know, how much further has Westbrook on his own gotten Lillard, or gotten his team than Lillard has? You know what I'm saying?
Well, he had Durant with him, made it to the Western Conference Finals, and they're up 3-1 on the Warriors, and the Blazers never been there, but he didn't have Kevin Durant.
Yeah, I mean, C.J. McCollum's not Kevin Durant. So you're talking about, you know, one superstar, or, you know, if you want to call him on the verge of being I think he's a superstar, but, you know, I think that part of what you just said earlier is the reason a lot of people probably have him on the edge there is because they don't see him a lot. They don't see him during the regular season. They don't stay up to watch NBA games in Portland. during the regular season. So, but yeah, I mean, he goes up against a tough matchup. It makes it a little bit different, and I agree, he did get a little bit worse each series, but the competition got a little bit harder each series too. And when you don't have everything you need around you, I think that's going to make a heck of a lot of difference, especially when you're going against a team like the Warriors, which we said the whole time was a bad matchup for them. So as a team, and sometimes guys can't overcome that individually, and that's the case with Lillard, and he did struggle. But yeah, I mean, I he's not that money is ridiculous. No matter if it's Damian Lillard or Steph Curry or James Harden, I don't care who it is. That's outrageous money.
Doesn't that tell you then that Steph Curry and James Harden are worth more than $50 million
a year?
Well, yeah. That's insane. By the way, James Harden averaged 36 points a game this year, by far the best in the league. Paul George, 28. He was second in the league. So there's two guards that are better than Damian Lillard. And George is a guard, by the way. He can play small forward, but he's more of the two guard. You know, LeBron technically could be considered a guard. I would say he's better than Damian Lillard.
Yeah.
Steph Curry is better than Damian Lillard. Devin Booker, nobody knows a lot about him. He scores a lot. I don't know if he's better than Damian Lillard, but we don't know much about him because he's on a really bad team. He averaged 27 a game. And then Lillard averaged 25.8, 11th on the list. Kemba Walker is a guy that we don't know as much about. We should, but he's at Charlotte, so he's buried there. He's probably I think he's as good as Damian Lillard. But he just doesn't have the cast.
Yeah.
He doesn't have CJ McCollum to help him out. He averaged 25.6. Bradley Beal's a really good player. You know, a lot of people would say Kyrie Irving's better than Damian Lillard, although now I don't know.
No.
But I think
right
he would have said that going into the season maybe, though.
Probably so, yeah.
And then Donovan Mitchell's an up-and-coming guy. And then there's, you know, Westbrook's behind there. But Westbrook has the numbers in all three phases.
He's averaged a triple-double.
Yeah,
three
right.
Years in a row,
whereas Lillard doesn't do that. Yeah. So. Yeah, there are, and I think Luka Doncic is going to be a better player than Damian Lillard. I mean, he's only 19, and my Lord, the sky's the limit for that kid for the Mavericks. So I think you can arguably say that Damian Lillard is the one, two, if you considered LeBron a guard, which I don't know if you do or not, one, two, three, four, he's maybe the fifth best guard, getting $47.75 million per year with his extension. So,
yeah.
You know? What are the other guys worth now?
Yeah, exactly. That's where you're going with it.
Yes, exactly.
Whether you feel that Damian Lillard is a superstar or not, where you're going with it is there are guys that are better than him.
The same thing applies to the Patrick Mahomes and quarterbacks. Russell Wilson gets, you know, $35 million. Well, I think a lot of people think Patrick Mahomes is going to be better than Russell Wilson. Maybe not yet. He isn't there, or maybe he is there, and he's only 23, and Wilson's 30. Listen, Patrick Mahomes is going to get $40 million a year. It might be more than that. Can you imagine if Mahomes goes out and throws for 5,000 yards and 50 touchdowns again? Which I don't think is happening. But if it did, if he gets MVP again, let's think about this. He goes back-to-back MVPs and throws for 4,800 yards and 40 touchdowns. That guy can just – the Chiefs should just hand over a check and let him fill in what he wants.
Yeah.
I mean, that might, he might make 50. It's crazy.
Yeah,
and he's probably worth it.
It seems
he's
crazy.
Probably worth it.
It seems crazy, but
it does.
It's not if he does that again.
You keep your franchise quarterback, man. You never let that
guy
go.
Like you said, even if it's not 5,050, if it's 4,843 or something.
That's pretty good.
You know, it's like, that's still ridiculous.
And they win their division, get the number one seed. I mean, he'd be MVP, I would bet. Again.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Crazy stuff. More on the Chiefs. Another wild and wacky story with the Chiefs coming up in a moment. This is insane. We'll get to it. So anyway, Raptors and the Bucks tied 2-2 in the best of 7 in Game 5 coming up on Thursday, tomorrow night in Milwaukee. We'll get the NHL, and we'll tell you about a baseball player that is having an unbelievable year, and you might not know much about him. That's coming up. Local sports, we have athletes of the week. We've got golf reschedules and everything else. We got state track coming up Friday and Saturday. I'll turn it over to Dusty.
Yes, athletes of the week, Beloit senior Colin Chandler and Thunder Ridge junior Jaden Bowden have been named our Cunningham Telephone and Cable athletes of the week from NCKSSports.com. Chandler added to his already outstanding senior season with the Beloit track and field team there by qualifying for the Kansas State High School Activities Association state meet in two throwing events this past Thursday at 3A Scott City Regional. Took first. He's been dominant all season in the shot put and won that at 53.25. Now he's now a three-time state qualifier in that event, and he has taken first place in the shot put at every regular meet that he's competed in this year with a total of 8 gold medals. His top throw was 53.45 at the NCAA League meet in Solana on May 10th. In addition to the shot put, he also qualified for state in the discus with a third-place finish on Thursday. Bowden had a great day at the 1A Regional Track and Field Meet in Hill City last Thursday. Jaden headed the state in four different events, two individual gold medals in the 800-meter run and the 1600-meter run. And she also was a member of the 4x400-meter relay team that took second and the 4x8 team that took fourth. So on the season, Bowden has finished with first-place medals in the 800-meter run four times, including regionals. So congratulations to Colin Chandler and Jaden Bowden, our NCKSSports.com Cunningham Telephone and Cable Athletes of the Week. For more information on how you can nominate an athlete of the week, visit ncksports.com. As Wade said, rainy conditions causing problems yet again for state golf. Class 1A was supposed to resume on Tuesday, but that was moved to today at 10 a.m., and we're going to double-check all that and make sure that's accurate, but that's been moved to today. 2A was supposed to resume today, but that's been moved to next Tuesday, the 28th of May, and then Sand Greens was supposed to start today, but they've again moved that one as well to next Tuesday, May 28th, at La Crosse for the state Sand Greens meets. So that's an update as we know it right now as far as the state golf meets are concerned here in the area. So, again, we'll track it as well as we can as far as it goes. And I haven't seen anything different on 1A. So apparently they're going to go today at 10 o'clock in Solana. They're in that one today. As Wade mentioned, we have state track and field, state softball. We're going to hear from a couple coaches here later this week. We'll preview some state softball tomorrow with the Beloit Lady Trojans getting underway in Emporia at 7 o'clock tomorrow night against Silver Lake. And then Friday and Saturday, we'll have reports beginning after 9 o'clock each day on Friday and Saturday from the state track and field championships. I have a kind of a guide posted at ncksports.com of all the area athletes that are competing at state track and field. Times on that, again, are always approximate. They will run that meet ahead of schedule if they can, but if you'd like a guide for either all the area athletes from the Katy Country 94 area or by school, there's little tabs at the bottom of each page there. You can find that at ncksports.com for all our state track and field qualifiers. So, again, busy week here with state competition in the area.
All right, look forward to all the coverage. Reports starting at 9 a.m. coming up on Friday, every half hour there on after till day one's complete. We'll start again at 9 o'clock, top of the hour, just a little bit past the news at top of the hour, and every half hour there on out on Saturday as well from the State Track and Field Championships in Wichita. The NHL Stanley Cup Finals are set. It'll be Boston versus St. Louis.
From dead last in the NHL.
Pretty amazing stuff. The Blues dominate the Sharks in games 5 and 6, and they win again last night to take the series 4-2. St. Louis, first time they have moved on to the Stanley Cup Finals since 1970. They won last night 5-1. So the Blues advance. We talk so much about the NBA Finals and NBA playoffs being drawn out. This is a good one from my friend Curtis Siebelt out of 810 WHBI Kansas City. He tweeted this. For those who think the NBA Finals are drawn out, the Boston Bruins and St. Louis Blues will sit for 5 days before they begin their championship series. If it goes a full 7 games, the Stanley Cup championship will end on Wednesday, June 12th, which means 3 weeks from tomorrow to play 7 games. Now that is drawn out. That is much worse than the NBA. That's ridiculous. Why? First of all, game 6 was last night. Game 7 would have been Thursday. So Thursday, you still could have started it on Sunday or Saturday night, the first game of the Stanley Cup Finals.
Yeah. And what's weird about hockey is they don't do that during – they don't draw it out as much as the NBA does during the regular playoffs.
No, but then all of a sudden –
but then in the finals, it's like – I don't know if they don't want to compete with the NBA, and that might be part of the reason.
I'm sure that's part of it.
They want to be on a different night.
Or they have to work with NBC to get on the regular network channel like we've talked about.
Yeah.
Sorry, but we have Law and Order SVU tonight.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely don't want to be on the same night as the NBA.
No.
Finals, so that's part of it. There's no doubt.
I think so, too. I think that's why it's probably drawn out, but it seems a little bit crazy.
Yeah.
No doubt. So Blues versus the Bruins for the Stanley Cup Finals beginning in 5 days. The Royals did not play yesterday, thus they did not lose. They will have a doubleheader in St. Louis. Cardinals-Royals, game one, doubleheader, after being rained out last night, will be at 12:15 this afternoon. Brad Keller on the hill for KC. And then the second game doubleheader will be Homer Bailey for the Royals against Cardinal right-hander Adam Wainwright. Once again, Royals 16-31 on the season. You may not know this, and I wasn't really aware of it too much because when I follow Major League Baseball, I follow the Royals, I follow the teams in the Central Division, and then I follow maybe more the American League, and then eventually I pay attention to the National League. But have you noticed what Cody Bellinger's been doing for the Dodgers?
I haven't until you...
Holy shnikes.
Alerted me.
Okay, this is insane. Through 46 games, which if you do the math, that is 27% of the season already. Through 46 games, Cody Bellinger is hitting .405. He's hitting over 400. Yeah. 42 runs scored, 17 home runs, 44 RBIs, 7 stolen bases. He leads the majors in runs scored, hits, RBIs, batting average, on-base percentage, which is insane. Almost 50% of the time he's getting on base. And his slug is .791. He also leads in total bases. His OPS plus leads the majors. He's 138% better than the league's average hitter. He's second in home runs, fifth in stolen bases, 10th in walks, second in extra base hits, first in times on base. It's just absurd how good he's really been. And here's the thing. He doesn't strike out a lot, although he did when he was in the playoffs like a couple of years. But now apparently he's getting to be better because he's a young guy. He's hitting .405. Now listen, is he going to end up hitting 400? I would bet about everything I got he wouldn't. It's like you're going to have a slump. And if you have a big slump, you know, George Brett was the last guy really to make a true run at 400 back in 1980. And I've heard Brett talk about it. He said, listen, you have two or three games where you hit the ball in the nose and you hit it right at people and you're in trouble. You just can't have a week where you can't have a bad week is what he said.
Yeah.
But what's crazy was George Brett, after the All-Star break, I think it was, in 1980, hit like 450 or something crazy like that. Like just to get, he was hitting 40, he got over 400 late in the season. He ended up hitting 390. Tony Gwynn had one year where he had, I think, 380 and had a really good year. But I just don't think there's anybody, unless the game changes, the rules change, things like that, I just don't think there'll ever be another Major League Baseball player that will hit 400 over the course of a whole season. I mean a legitimate 400. He had, you know, 500 at-bats or more. Yeah, some guy might have 300 plate appearances and hit 400, but does he qualify for the league batting average title? Which even if he does, that's probably not, it's going to have a little bit of an asterisk. I also don't think other records will never be broken in baseball. Joe DiMaggio's 56-game hitting streak will never be broken.
No.
And I don't like to say never very often, but that means going 2 months without having one bad game where you hit the ball four times hard at somebody. Also, another record that'll never be broken is Cal Ripken Jr.'s consecutive game streak. That's gone. That ain't happening.
People don't play like that anymore. No. It's untouchable.
What was it, 2,100 some games he played?
It's ridiculous.
It's not going to be broken.
People don't even hardly get past like 1,200 anymore.
Well, Alcides Escobar, what was his?
I think his was somewhere around 1,200.
Yeah, his was like the longest running one there for a while.
I might be too high on that, but people just don't do it. Like,
trying to remember how many games in a row that was.
For
2,632. I was thinking of Lou Gehrig's number. Yeah, I was thinking Lou Gehrig's number. I was like, you know what? I think you actually blew by it. Yeah, 2,632 games in a row, which if you do the math on that, this is calculator day here at Kansas Country 94. But if you do the math, 2,632 divided by 162 games, 16 and a quarter seasons in a row you'd have to play without missing a game. So one, longevity. There's not a lot of guys that play Major League Baseball for 16 years, let alone guys that can go that many games without missing one.
Yeah.
And nowadays, with the investment and the money involved, and we've seen Alberto Mondesi getting a day off for crying out loud, at the age of 23, it's just not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I do.
Which do you think is more likely to happen out of these three? Somebody hits 400, somebody has a 56-game hitting streak, somebody plays 2,632 games in a row. Which one of those three do you think is the most likely to happen?
The 400 thing's the most likely.
You think that's most likely?
Yeah. Because, okay. I mean, you could get somebody that just...
hot for a whole season.
Yeah, I mean, just gets off the charts and you know,
I tend to agree.
Somebody
with
maybe
you.
Can't figure it out, but the other ones are just so outlandish and out there that. Mm-hmm. Escobar's, by the way, was 406. I was thinking of somebody that it was like 1200. That
406 seems
that it was
like nothing.
The highest that it's ever been since that.
Right.
I think is why that number was in my mind.
That was it. 406.
406. That's what it said on what I just looked.
Really?
At.
I thought it was longer. Than
yeah.
That.
Huh. Unless that was inaccurate, what I looked up, but I'm trying to find out like who has the active streak right now, because it's I mean, nobody's going to get even close to that.
Mine here says 421.
Huh.
421.
Maybe, well, that said played at shortstop. Maybe.
Yeah, this is saying that probably, games is 421.
He played
games a few third base at the
too.
End there, yeah. Right.
Didn't he start one game in like center or something like that?
Yeah, they moved him outfield there towards the end just to keep him out
so
there.
That, yeah, that did say consecutive games played at shortstop.
So current games played.
I tried to find like a current list, but I couldn't see it. Yeah, Miguel Tejada was like the latest that's done anything good, and that was 2007 is when his ended at 1152.
Freddie Galvis, never heard of him. He's a Padres shortstop, played on his 256th straight game on Monday.
So 256.
That's 256. So that's the number now, 256. That's what it, not even 10% of what Cal Ripken Jr.'s done.
Yeah.
Right? Is my math right on that
I
one?
I mean, when I look at the full list, there's only one guy since the turn of the century that's even in the top 20.
Actually, that was 256, but this was dated last July, so I don't
it's
know.
It's probably not even accurate. He probably missed accurate. A game already.
He probably missed a game already. Let me see if I can find here if there's a current one. I'm not finding anything right now. But anyway, that's 2,632. It's just not going to happen. I agree with
you.
Okay, moving on. So Cody Bellinger is tearing it up, and he has a chance to hit over 400, and when we all say that that's more than likely not going to happen, but, man, you talk about a great start to the season. He is by far the league leader for the MVP race in the National League, no question. All right, let's shift gears. Kansas is in the news a little bit again. As we talked about Sylvia DeSosa's appeal with the NCAA, which they hope to have word of this before May 29th when Sylvia DeSosa has to decide whether or not he's going to withdraw his name from the NBA draft or not. In other news, there's been a motion filed by the University of Kansas that aims to dismiss David Beatty's lawsuit. Beatty's lawyer says the motion is a delay tactic. Kansas Athletics has filed that motion in federal court to dismiss a lawsuit for former KU head football coach David Beatty that claims the athletic department owes him $3 million. So there you have it. They're trying to get away, or not get away, but they're just wanting the lawsuit dismissed. That's what Kansas is wanting to do. Let me ask you a question. David Beatty was not a great coach. Okay? But then again, look what he inherited, for crying out loud. He inherited a dumpster fire. I mean, he had to follow Turner Gill and Charlie Weiss, for the love of God. I mean, this guy had no chance when he went in there. And he actually made the program a little bit better. I'm not going to say he made it a lot better, but he made it a little bit better. At least good enough to where Les Miles says, I'll take it on. I don't know if Les Miles would take on this job if it had been right after Charlie Weiss.
No.
And maybe Les Miles would have no matter what, because Jeff Long's the AD and they're friends. I don't know. But here's my question. KU paid the money to Turner Gill, and he wasn't a very good coach. KU paid all the money to Charlie Weiss, and he was a horrendous coach. Why didn't KU just pony up, pay the $3 million, and move on? I mean, David Beatty, you talk about a guy that fell on the sword, and a guy that, you know, I thought took the high road most of the time, a guy that inherited a really tough situation because nobody wanted the job, and a guy that, you know, bled the crimson and blue. I mean, could we just give him the $3 million? I know it sounds crazy. Oh, yeah, easy for you to say, Wade. It's not your $3 million. Listen, $3 million is a drop in the bucket for the University of Kansas. With all the donors and everything else, all the coaches they paid. That's the thing. All the coaches they paid off. Mark Mangino, they had to pay off after they fired him after 7 bad games. And he became an unbelievable bully, and they couldn't stand him. But when they were winning and going to Orange Bowl, it was all great. Then, of course, Turner Gill they bought out. Charlie Weiss they bought out. I might even be missing a guy somewhere. But we draw the line at $3 million for David Beatty. It just doesn't seem quite right, does it?
No. Listen, none of it is.
And is it worth all the PR?
I don't. this whole thing I've never understood from the get-go, like why they even are contesting this.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking in to try to find things that he did wrong so they don't have to pay him, and it's like...
He also agreed to coach the final games after he was fired for crying out loud.
Exactly. It's like, I don't know if this is the way I would go about it. It's just none of it makes sense to me, like, because of everything that's happened in the past.
Yeah.
The only thing that's different is you have a different chancellor and you have a different athletic director than you did in those last ones. Gerard might have been there when Weiss was gone, but the athletic director thing is the only thing that is really different for me. And maybe Shane Zinger just didn't feel like fighting those kind of things. I don't know, but
that could be.
None of it makes sense to me.
That could be. Per the contract extension that Beatty signed in 2016, if Kansas Athletics fired him without cause, he'd be owed $3 million. Filed in March, the lawsuit, Beatty alleges a breach of contract and unpaid wages of $3 million are owed to him. So stay tuned.
Yeah, the thing I don't get about it is, like, he was fired for unjust cause, but now retroactively we're trying to find cause.
Yes.
That's what's going on.
Seems
like
it.
They're retroactively trying to find cause for his firing.
So they don't have to pay $3 million. Yep. I it's a weird deal. I think, you know, I don't understand it myself. I think Kansas should just move on and pay the piper. But then again, I guess I understand that, you know, you set a precedent, somebody just sues you, and then you just give them the money. Why wouldn't that happen in the future? I guess that's possible, too. Kansas, on the basketball front, I mentioned DeSosa yesterday. KU is hoping to get a couple of outstanding recruits. R.J. Hampton is a 6'5 combo guard. He is rated fifth, I think, by Rivals. He's a top five prospect. And he is interested in coming to Kansas. He's visited once, and he may visit again when his good friend Jalen Wilson, who is a top 50 recruit, he's a 6'8" small forward, comes to Lawrence. R.J. Hampton may come back and visit with him. There's been a lot of talk that the two will play together. They played together way years ago, I guess, and they're really good friends. And so I believe it's I can't remember if it's Hampton or Wilson, because I can't find the story now, that one of them went ahead and crossed off Kentucky off the list. So that means Kentucky's not in the running.
I think that was Hampton.
I think it was Hampton.
I might have seen that the other day.
Yeah, that's an old story. I don't know what happened to KUSports.com, because maybe they took the story down for some reason. I don't know why, because it was there. But anyway, Kansas is looking at getting a couple of top recruits. They could get both of them. But Hampton is the guy that they would really like to get, a 6'5 combo guard. And we know that Bill Self loves those combo guards. And R.J. Hampton reportedly has moved up the timeline for his college decision, and it could happen as early as the first week of June. And if he would join KU's recruiting class, and if Wilson did as well, KU would be in the top 10 for this year's recruiting class, despite all of the things and uncertainties with the NCAA and everything else. So stay tuned on that as well.
Yeah, that was Hampton that cut Kentucky
off. Yeah, Hampton cut him off. That's cool. I love it when Kentucky's cut off.
So Kentucky's backcourt is already set. That's what he said. So.
That works for me, because it seems like Kentucky and Duke get every single top guy, although there's probably some people that believe that Kansas gets every top guy. According to the institutions, some have him, R.J. Hampton, ranked sixth or fifth, whatever that means to you. It's funny because all these recruiting services have different things. One says combo guard, the other point guard. Which is he?
Yeah.
To me, I think he's a combo guard.
If you're 6'5", I'm going to guess you're a combo.
I would say you're a combo guard. And that gives you flexibility.
6'5 point guards.
So Hampton made an official visit to KU in December. He also visited Memphis last September. Memphis right now is the number one recruiting class in America because Penny Hardaway is cheating. It's like Nick Nolte in Blue Chips.
Yeah.
He's giving tractors to people. And
Penny Hardaway was in Blue Chips.
I know.
That's where
do you think
it.
He learned it? Yeah. And man, Shaq. And now Texas Tech is a finalist. They've popped up. Kentucky's been eliminated for the services of R.J. Hampton. And Rod Hampton told the media that we don't need to visit Kansas or Memphis. We already know what they're all about. But the next couple of days, R.J. is going to decide whether or not he's going to visit Texas Tech or where Texas Tech stands on the list. So Texas Tech now becoming a bit of a factor. Jalen Wilson said in an interview, Kansas, that'd be a great pick. Everyone's already assuming that we're going to play together. I haven't played with him in a long time, so if that happens, Lawrence better be ready. That'd be pretty lit. End of quote. So, you're a KU basketball fan. You can only hope. All right, let's turn to the NFL, where the Kansas City Chiefs defensive lineman Chris Jones is absent from OTAs, and if you think that's a big deal, it's not. It's not at all.
I know somebody in Kansas City that'll make it a big deal.
Oh, but I'm sure. It's not a big deal. This happens all the time. Guys that are negotiating contracts are getting an extension. It's not necessarily a holdout. They're just not going to take a chance for something to happen to them in OTAs and something freaky happens. They are hurt. They'll play it out. The Chiefs are negotiating with his agent. Sounds like they'll work out a deal. And that's been one of the biggest offseason priorities, was that and Tyreek Hill for an extension. Well, we know what happened to Tyreek Hill in regards to there will be no extension. And whether or not he's on the team, who knows? So Chris Jones, the Chiefs, they think he'll be just fine in that 4-3. They can move around a little bit. He could be DN, defensive tackle, interior line, or on the exterior. Doesn't matter. They really like him, and they want to hold him and keep him in Kansas City for quite some time. So expect a long-term extension to be done for Chris Jones. At what point in time, I don't know, but he did not and is not attending OTAs. It's not that big of a deal. If you thought the Chiefs offseason couldn't get any weirder, I'll tell you you're wrong. Have you seen this story?
I don't think I did. Was this new today or?
This came out last night.
Okay.
A distant relative of Tyrann Mathieu, the newly acquired safety and free agency for the Chiefs, a distant relative of Tyrann Mathieu is accused of attempting to extort millions from the NFL star by threatening to go to media with sexual assault accusations and telling his family members that he would kill them. The NBC affiliate TV station down there in New Orleans obtained records from federal investigators stating that Jarvin Sears of New Orleans is out on bond after allegedly sending Mathieu multiple threatening texts and phone calls demanding a range of money from $1.5 to $5 million. According to a federal affidavit obtained by the TV station, Sears called Mathieu on April 20th demanding $1.5 million deposited into his account. Sears backed up his demands with threats to tell media that Mathieu had committed sexual assault, according to documents. He later texted Mathieu with a demand of $5 million by Friday. "I'm done talking, emailing TMZ now," according to records. Records show that Tyrann Mathieu blocked him on his phone. Sears told Matthew's family members days later, "I want $1.5 million by Friday, or I'm going to kill all of you." Matthew's relatives were in genuine fear for their safety, took the threat seriously. Obviously, you should.
Yeah.
And Denise White of EAG Sports Management told the TV station, "He's dealing with a family member who is dealing with a mental health issue. Tyrann Mathieu is fine. His family is fine. They're getting through all of this." Mathieu was in New Orleans for a charity event around the time federal agents were making their case against this Sears guy. Holy snikes, man. That is messed up.
Something doesn't add up when I wanted $5 million at first, but now I'll take $1.5
million. Yeah.
But you're going to die if you don't give it to me.
Man. Like, yeah, I'd say there's some mental health issues there.
Yeah, a little bit.
Ain't crazier something. Offseason for the Chiefs? I mean, even guys they acquire, there's, well, Frank Clark, we know his background.
Yeah.
Tyrann Mathieu. Yeah, this is not his fault, obviously.
Yeah.
But still, it's just another negative or weird story.
Yeah.
Associated with the Chiefs.
And then how do you comprehend all that? Like, I'm emailing TMZ now. Like, with what? Are they going to just take you at your word? Do you have some kind of videos? Because TMZ really likes videos. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you better provide the video, though.
So you better not just be saying, "Oh, hey, Tyrann Mathieu is guilty of sexual assault," not give him anything to go off.
Yeah, that's not going to really work.
No, it's not. Not
better not.
No.
Yeah. All right, other NFL notes here. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are finalizing a one-year deal with Ndamukong Suh. Didn't last very long with the Rams. Didn't last a long time. Got a big contract with the Dolphins. It's his third team in 3 years and his fourth team overall for a guy that was supposed to dominate the interior of the defensive line and did have a couple of really good years at Detroit.
Yeah, he can't get out of his own way for the most part.
No, I agree.
That's Ndamukong Suh.
I think he's a declining player, too. He didn't have a lot of impact plays last year for the Rams. No. And he should have because he had Aaron Donald next to him that he shouldn't have faced any double teams.
Yeah.
I think he's a declining player. All right, we'll end with a couple of things here. I'm going to see if there's anything new to report. The Patriots have been working maybe with a trade to get Pro Bowl tight end Kyle Rudolph for the Vikings. Let's hope that does not happen if you're a Chiefs fan. There's a report that the Knicks have other competition in regards to signing Kevin Durant this offseason. There are some, including Riley, who is a Knicks fan, that should be pointed out, says that Durant's going to be with the Knicks next year. I don't think he will be. But I don't know. I didn't think he'd leave OKC.
Yeah.
I sure didn't see him going to Golden State. No, nobody really saw that one coming. I think there's a chance that Durant's going to stay in Golden State still. I think a lot of people are just saying he won't. His agent yesterday made some kind of public appearance, and he was asked about Kevin Durant. And Rick Kleiman is the agent for Kevin Durant, and he said, I can tell you 100% that Kevin Durant is completely undecided. He said, would it be helpful to know where he's leaning and what he wants to do? Yeah, as an agent, I like that. But he's focused on the playoffs and winning a championship. And he said, I can tell you honestly right now, he is 100% undecided.
Yeah.
So for all those people that think they know everything and know he's going to go to the Knicks or the Nets or the Rockets. Somebody's throwing the Rockets out there. Like, how the Rockets going to have the money?
Bleacher Report threw out the Clippers. And I'm like... Yeah, Kobe was going to go to the Clippers, too.
Yeah. I think the Clippers, uses leverage, what I think. Doc Rivers, though, is a really good coach. They do need a star. They have plenty of cap money. I mean, that would be funny if Durant went to the Clippers competing against LeBron and the Lakers. The Clippers are a less dysfunctional organization than the Lakers.
Oh, without question.
It used to be the other way around. Used to be the other way around. So, I don't know, man. I think it would be crazy, crazy nuts. And I don't think they can even do it financially. Wouldn't it just be absolutely crazy if Durant went to OKC and joined George and Westbrook? I mean, I still think there's a chance that he's going to end his career in OKC at some point. I think there's still that chance. I really do. But I don't think him and Westbrook can play together. I think there's, as long as Westbrook's there, I don't think Durant probably going back to OKC. Now, Durant with George maybe would be interesting, but you still would need a point guard.
Yeah, that's...
It might be two similar players on the same team, maybe. But I don't see him going to the Rockets. I don't think they have the financial flexibility. I think Durant wants to go somewhere where he can get his full money now because he's taking a pay cut at Golden State. Now, he could go to the Knicks. I believe he could get his full money. He goes to the Clippers, he'd get his full money. So the Nets have been brought up as a possibility. So I don't know where Durant will go. Do you hope Durant leaves the Warriors?
Absolutely.
You're a Spurs fan. Of course you do.
I even if I wasn't a Spurs fan, it's just like,
let's
mix it up. Let's get something different here.
You don't want to see the Warriors, win seven in a row or anything like that, huh?
No.
Okay. All right. Now, let's shift to mental health. Speaking of mental health, we mentioned the crazy person, apparently, associated with Tyrann Mathieu. I think this is terrific that this is finally going to happen, and there certainly could be more done. But the National Football League and the National Football League Players Association have announced mental health initiatives. Now think about this. These guys get wrung all the day. Their helmets, we know about the CTE, the concussions, and everything else. And it's a long story, but part of the agreement is that the establishment of a committee, particular committee, is going to carry with it a new requirement that every team in the National Football League hire a behavioral health clinician whose job will be to coordinate mental health care for players and who will be required to spend at least 8 to 12 hours per week at the team facility, which doesn't seem like a lot of time, but it's at least a start.
Mm-hmm.
Every team is going to be required to have a behavioral health clinician, or I'd call it a mental health person, there to help the players in their mental health care. Listen, we don't even have to talk about any other NFL team. All you got to talk about is the Kansas City Chiefs. And they really need one. And they needed one a long time ago. Because we know Jovan Belcher. We know of other players. Listen, the NBA players have stepped up. Kevin Love, DeMar DeRozan, who's on the Spurs, have talked about depression, talked about how they weren't even able to play at times.
Mm-hmm.
And they've come out and said, yes, I'm a man, and I've tried to hide this for a while, but it's okay to say you have a problem, and that, yeah, we're making lots of money, but there's lots of stresses in our world. And then, of course, the pressure from a whole bunch of people like ourselves as fanatics.
Yeah.
And if you don't play well, you get booed immediately. You play great for 10 games in a row. You have one bad game, you can be booed. People can turn on you. Yeah, I still think officials need mental health evaluators too. But the players, they have to answer the questions in the media and this and that. And if they dodge them, they get criticized. The NFL, you've got the physical beating of banging your head against other players and tackling and the physical nature of the game. I think this is really good. And I'll take it one step further. And I don't want to get into some big debate. But I truly, truly, truly believe this. And you can disagree with me because it's just my opinion. And I think Dusty agrees with me to an extent, but he can speak for himself. But I think there's a major problem in this country today that a lot of people don't want to address. Because it's not convenient for their agenda, whether you're on the left or the right. And that is that when we have these shootings in our country, whether it's a church shooting, whether it's a movie theater shooting, whether it's a school shooting, or anything like that, the first thing that is talked about is what?
Gun control.
Gun control. Gun control. You know, the left typically says we need more gun laws. The right will typically say, no, basically. And I won't get any great detail. Listen, I am not a person that owns guns. So you could argue I don't have a dog in the fight. I don't. I don't go hunting. I did when I was younger a little bit, not very much. If you gave me a gun to shoot target practice, fine. We had gentlemen in here about the trap shooting team, mm-hmm. which I think is perfectly fine in a controlled nature, and they're not going out there shooting off AK-47s, okay? They're, guns that they can handle and learning how to shoot them the right way. I think that's a good thing. But every single person that has been involved in these horrible shootings or mass shootings have had something in common besides the gun. And what would that be?
Well, they all have,
mental health problems.
You all have mental health issues.
You have mental health issues.
Yeah.
You have mental health issues. And what we do in this country, sorry, I'm going to get on my soapbox for a little bit. What we do in this country is that we make it it's the rope-a-dope, I call it. It's the quick, put the ball underneath one cup and then make people chase and try to figure out where the ball is under the cup instead of focusing on the real problem that's taking place over here to your right out of your vision. It's a distraction. And the real issue is not, in my opinion, and this is my opinion again, and I don't think we necessarily need to have, guns that can shoot 300 rounds of ammunition in a minute or something like that. I don't think we really need that myself. But that's just my opinion. But I think we get caught up in we got to take people's guns away, we got to change the gun laws, and maybe we do need to tweak them and do this and do that. That could very well be the case. But doesn't it take a person to shoot a gun?
Sure does.
Last I checked, it took a person to shoot a gun. So anybody that owns a gun has to have, hopefully, good mental health, right? That you need to know how to shoot a gun, put the safety on, whatever it may be. You hopefully have learned the right way, and you're a sane individual. But what happens is, in this country, we add to our defense budget. We add to big budgets. We have a huge debt in this country, right? But where do we cut? What services do we cut? We cut the little things.
We cut, the things that matter for people when they need to develop,
Yes.
Whether it's mental health, whether it's education, whether it's this or that, it seems like those are the places that they get cut.
Exactly. And my wife is in social work. She sees she's seen lots of crazy things over the years and a lot of stuff she can't even tell me about. Mm-hmm. And she can do the job. I could not do it. And we hear all about the problems with child abuse, or we have problems in this country or in the state with kids still. It just came out the other day. Kids are still lying on the floors at the DCF in Topeka. Okay? You can't place families, paperwork, kids are lost. We see here. But the point of the story is this. We cut the little things. And the big pieces of the pie where we could really make a significant cut that would help balance the budget or take some of that money and put towards things like mental health, we don't do. The first thing we do, we cut social services. We cut the small programs that impact people even worse than if you would just, maybe take 5% out of the defense budget. And the reason I bring this up is the NFL is at least dealing with this a little bit and requiring, and the Players Association has agreed to it, which is Hey, here's a concept, Dusty. We have two sides getting together and agreeing on something. Maybe the Democrats and Republicans in this country could get together and come up with a overhaul of the social services or mental health system that we have in this country that needs a lot of help. We need more people to help people that have mental health issues. And it doesn't have to be just about somebody that is thinking about grabbing a gun and shooting. It could simply be people that deal with depression. All right? We know people that deal with depression. We probably all have had a little bit of depression in our lives, and we don't even know we were in a depressed state, perhaps. And maybe we could have used some help. And we don't have enough people out there helping people that have mental health issues. We just immediately say, well, that person's crazy, and they should go to jail. Or we immediately say, well, it was the gun's fault, when it wasn't. It's the people that are doing those things that have, typically, I don't know of any sane person in the world. Because I think you have to be a little bit insane to do something like that, don't you? To kill someone?
At any point in time, there's always going to be some kind of... That's why you plead insanity is always weird to me.
I know, me too.
At some
of course
point,
you were at that
triggered
time.
In your mind that wasn't
sane.
The sane and natural way of living,
right.
Basically, is the best way to say it.
Yes.
There's at some point, you strayed from what legal people say is normal, right. I guess. And so there was something that triggered you, no matter what that was, no matter how big of a scale it was, whether you're completely, I just read the book, I've seen the movie, but I just read the book Psycho, you know, mm-hmm. And it's like, that's just a guy that had different personalities, you know, split personalities. Obviously there's insanity there. Mm-hmm. There's something going wrong with him. A guy gets really mad for 10 seconds at that little point in time. He was insane. Normally,
right.
He's not.
Right, right.
There's something.
But something was pent up
you.
That if they could have talked to somebody, yeah. Or had somebody, a mental health evaluator, or just mental health help, or just social services at their disposal, could have maybe diffused that.
Yeah.
And would have saved lives, possibly. So to me, we need to address the real problem. And the real problem isn't necessarily the guns, although that doesn't help. I get that. It's a weapon. I get all that. But there's other weapons in the world, too, besides guns, okay? And I'm not getting into this gun control debate. I'm not going to fall prey to that and take that bait, hook, line, and sinker. I'm not. Because, like I said, I don't own guns, and I feel like it's a distractive technique by both parties to immediately just start talking about, oh, it's gun control, because they know that takes away from the real issue if they really, really studied it. I think there are people in this country that serve us that know what the real problem is. I just don't think they want to truly address it.
Listen, and
or it doesn't fit their agenda, or there doesn't fit the lobbyists that what they want.
Yeah, and that's part of the thing too is that. But I think you get into a situation that we've been in for probably since the beginning of politics. It just seems worse now because
sure.
of social media.
Right. Sure.
I mean, I don't think it's
and
any
more,
worse now.
More TV stations and news channels.
Listen, can you imagine if we would have had social media during the Vietnam War?
Oh my goodness gracious! Can't even imagine.
I mean, I wasn't alive. But
how about World War?
I've watched. I've read enough books and watched the documentaries about the Vietnam War and how that divided the country.
Goodness.
And we're also being divided by racial segregation and mm-hmm. things like that.
Right.
And all that stuff. And I'm trying to imagine if Twitter was alive during the 60s, and I'm like, oh my goodness, this would not have been good. But I think it's magnified by that. But the bottom line for me is we've always got to find some way to disagree with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And so the problem is if we attack what, you know, I feel is definitely part of the issue,
mm-hmm.
is mental health.
Sure.
If we attack that, people on both sides can agree about that.
Yeah.
So that's why we don't talk about it.
Right.
Because I can agree, say we're both different sides of the political spectrum.
Sure, right.
Just for argument's sake.
Sure.
You believe in all the gun control in the world, take them all away. And I believe, well, I'm a respectful gun owner. I've never done anything wrong with my guns.
Sure.
We can both say that, man, this guy in Colorado or Florida or wherever had mental health issues.
Yeah.
We can both agree on that.
Yeah.
But we don't talk about it because we can't argue about that.
Right.
We can't sit here across from
though?
Me. I know, but that's what it is.
I know.
I mean, there's no question in my mind that's what it is.
Which makes
because
no
we're
sense.
Because we're in a country and a society right now where we've been given the freedom of speech, the freedom to make our own decisions.
That you're on one side or the other.
I have that freedom, so I've got to be different than this person.
Yeah.
I can't be the same as this person because I have the freedom to be different.
Right, yeah.
That's where it all comes down to me. And I think so many people would agree that there are mental health problems in this country.
Oh.
And there's problems with these people that commit the crimes with their mental health and their saneness that's too easy. We got to make it difficult.
Oh.
We got to argue about something. We can't just come into the middle here and agree on anything. Are you kidding me?
It's so frustrating. Dr. Alan Sills is the NFL's chief medical officer. And here's what he had to say, a few things here. He says, I think there's been an increased recognition in the sports medicine community over the past couple of years of how important behavioral and mental health issues are today, especially with young people. We want to make sure players have choices in this regard. The league currently has programs in place for dealing with mental health issues, and league-approved clinicians players can see outside of the team facility. Sills said the team-specific mental health professionals will be in charge of coordinating treatment programs specific to individual player needs. Players still will be able to seek treatment for their conditions outside of the facility, but will have a point person on hand to help them coordinate that and to help educate and diagnose as needed. What a concept. Cowboys Vice President Stephen Jones said on Monday that the organization was all in favor of helping players. He said, and I quote, "Really, it's not just about the players. It's life, whether it's children or whether it's people you work with. If you work at Dr. Pepper or you work at AT&T, everybody has employees who have challenges, and certainly we feel like it's not a black mark. It's a sickness, and you want to help people who need help. We feel like when we have our hands on our players, on our employees, and we are involved with them day in and day out, that we certainly have a better chance to have success with them than someone from New York. Obviously, the league has great intentions to help people as well. There's no doubt they're committed and certainly want our players to have the best help, the best ways to have success, not only on the field, but off the field," end of quote. The new committees don't signal any immediate changes to the league's drug policy, which is collectively bargained between the league and the union. Because one of the big things that is happening, Kyle Turley's been one of the big spokespeople about it, and that is using marijuana as a medicine, medical marijuana in essence. And the league does not allow marijuana. And there was a story that I watched the other day, running back, he played for Tampa Bay, and he was trying to come back into the league. And he had all kinds of issues, health issues, and he started to do the medical marijuana thing. And he straightened out his whole life. He became not dependent on a whole bunch of other stuff, which sounds weird because he's kind of dependent on that now to keep. But his life changed. He was nearly about to get divorced. The family was a wreck. And everything's back on track. And Kyle Turley swears by it as well. And there's others that do too. Now, I don't want to get in a conversation about legalizing marijuana or not, because that's a different show. But what they're trying to say was that the NFL needs to lighten their policies so that you can have medical marijuana or cannabis to deal with the horrible injuries that they suffer from the National Football League. Because as they said in this story, painkillers are more addictive and worse than medical marijuana. And yet the NFL, the opioid crisis that we have and all the painkillers that people take in this country, not just players, that's worse than if you would have cannabis or the medical marijuana. That's according to Kyle Turley and other players. And so this player wanted to come back in the league, and he worked out, and he put himself out there in front to be the lead person to try to get the NFL, had a representative or a lawyer to try to say, hey, NFL, can you please lax your rules on this? I need this to live, to function. I need this. And it's safe, and so forth and so on. And the National Football League denied that petition. And so whether the NFL will eventually change their views or change their policies when it comes to medical marijuana, cannabis, or whatever, that could be coming in the near future. Maybe it'll be a long way away. But this, at least, is a step in the right direction of having somebody on hand 8 to 12 hours a week, which maybe you would say, listening to this right now, well, that's not even close to enough. And you might be very well right. But at least it's a step in the right direction, because I don't see us taking a step in the right direction when it comes to our state or our country in regards to mental health. Because the first things we cut when we get into a budget crunch, we cut the social services side of things, or the little pieces of the pie that really don't gain you very much in the long run financially for your budget.
Yeah.
And then the big pieces of the pie that you could cut to really help yourself, we don't do, because of whether it's lobbyists or political agendas. Well, it doesn't help me to get reelected in 2 years because I cut 5% and it affected an army base. You know, that's the biggest problem with a lot of our politicians. And Jerry Moran was in here one time. I'll never forget this. Jerry Moran was in here one time. He's in here multiple times. And I like Jerry. And Mr. Moran came in, and he said, I think it was on air, too. He said that basically there's 9 months in a four-year span. I think he said it's a four-year span. 9 months in a two-year or four-year span. I think it was 4 years. There's 9 months where you really can get something done. You know why? Because you always have re-election. You have a light re-election every 2 years here, 4 years here, 6 years here, whatever it may be. And so everybody's always worried about getting their money, getting their PACs together, and then trying to get re-elected. Instead of worrying about, whoa, I am elected. I'm in this office. I need to do what's best for my constituents. No, instead, I'll work for 9 months. The other 3 1/3 years, I got to make sure I get re-elected. And there is a major problem right there. You can't fix all the problems in this country. And listen, this country's still one of the best, if not the best in the world. We have our problems. Everybody does. But think about that for a second. If you only had 9 months out of 4 years to take care of all the problems that you have in this country, no wonder we don't get stuff done. And one of those issues is mental health. We just immediately make it all about the gun and gun control.
Until 11 on this deal right here. I'm not even going to say anything else after that because, man, we could go a while.
Yeah. So I'm not trying to make this show a political show. That's not what I'm trying to do either. And I want everybody to be very clear. I don't have a dog in a fight in regards to the gun side of things because I understand people saying you don't need a gun that shoots tons of rounds at a time. I get that. And I understand people saying, well, it's not the guns that kill people, it's people that kill people. And I get that too. I also understand that there's weapons out there besides guns. So if we ban guns, then all of a sudden people use knives. We're going to ban knives? Okay, we ban knives. Now we're going to buy, if somebody's going to do damage, they're probably going to find a way to do damage. Is it easier to do damage by picking up something and firing it? Yeah, probably so. So I see both sides of the argument. I must be a dinosaur because apparently most people in this country can't see both sides. I do get both sides. I really, truly do. And I always have said, I'm not a Republican. I'm not a Democrat. I'm an American. And we need to have an American party in this country that does what's best for the country and what's best for people, whether it be mental health, social services, foster care, whatever it may be, or making things. You know, I saw something the other day, and I don't want to start this whole conversation, but I saw something the other day. It costs so much more to adopt a child than it does to abort one. Now, there's a topic you can go have fun with.
Yeah.
But think about that for a second. Isn't that messed up? No matter what your views are on abortion, no matter what your views are, you're pro-life, pro-choice. Doesn't matter. Forget all that. It can cost you $20,000 to adopt a child, but it can cost you a couple hundred bucks, $400 to have an abortion. That seems crazy, doesn't it? Seems completely out of line. No matter where you stand, could we all agree on this part, that it costs so much more to adopt a child? Shouldn't it be the other way around? Shouldn't it be the other way around? Right.
You know?
Shouldn't it be the other way around that adoption should be a little bit cheaper so we can get kids in the right places? I mean, I know of a couple that has had children that they are trying to adopt, and they've been in this process for 2 years, and still there's nothing finalized. They have raised these children. They love them. They are their own children. They just want to make it official. And you've got Joe Schmo and Jane Schmo out there. They've got so many cases because there are not enough people because of the cutting of budget and services where you got people, these unbelievable caseloads, overworked, underpaid, and they don't even remember what the kid's name is. They got to look it up, filter through the papers, and then not even know what's really going on. And so as a result, this foster care family is trying to adopt has been stuck in the mud for 2 years.
Yeah.
It's got to get better. That stuff's got to get better. And we can do better in this country. But instead, we choose to just point fingers. That's what we do. Or we make it about something that's really not what it's about. By the way, we close with Riley Gates' text. KU's got the money to pay Rick Ross to perform at the spring game, but not enough to pay David Beatty. Laugh out loud. Well, I don't think Rick Ross cost him $3 million, but I do get the point.
Yeah.
I do get the point.
I'm bringing Rick Ross and 2 Chainz.
You got these rapper connections. I'm telling you, they bring Eminem, I'm there. Because, one, I like to eat M&Ms, plus I like M&M. So I'm there. I'm there if they do that.
Skylar Thompson might actually show up for Eminem.
That'd be all right, man. See, there's another thing. Should we worry about whether you're a K-State or KU fan, whether or not Eminem would be performing in Manhattan or Lawrence? If you like Eminem, just go.
Yeah.
Right? Don't worry about it.
I've been to concerts in Lawrence before.
Yeah, I've been to concerts in Manhattan before as well. So there you have it. So we digress a little bit. We're not trying to make this all political or anything like that. But I think we could all agree, if we just stop and put aside our blue and red hats or whatever we're wearing, that we do have mental health issues in this country. We have them in our backyard. We have them maybe in our house. We might have them in our family. We might have them at radio stations. We may have them at insurance companies, at banks. You may not even know it, or you have an idea there's something wrong with somebody, and there's not enough people maybe for them to go seek help, and things can get worse and worse until, you know, and you don't want it to get to that point. We are in agreement on that, I think.
I think everybody in the world should be in agreement.
They should be. Whether or not they are, and they just want to hear what they hear, well, so be it.